Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films are Tina, The Toll, and Perfumes. Which did you like the best? Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing this week, Jill?
Not bad.
Good. Well, that's good. That's good. My favorite is actually the first one, Tina, which is a very good movie. And it's kind of interesting that there are these days just, I mean, I know that Hollywood and various independent movie people are all trying to make up for all of these decades and decades and decades of racial inequality and ethnic prejudice and all of this by putting out more movies about minorities. But at the moment, it appears to be black singers, black musicians who are getting so much of the attention. We have had just within the past, you could say several weeks, in some cases, maybe a very few months, that we've had starting out One Night in Miami, which is a movie directed by Regina King. And one of the characters in that, one of the celebrity African-Americans in that, is Sam Cooke, the great singer, played by Leslie Odom Jr. And then more recently, we had Ma Rainey's Black Bottom with Viola Davis playing the great Ma Rainey, the great black singer of some decades ago. And then we've had the documentary Billie about Billie Holiday. And then we've had biopic, the fictionalized movie, The United States versus Billie Holiday, starring Andra Day as Billie Holiday. So all these black singers, especially Billie Holiday, and especially black female singers, and now we have a really good documentary about Tina Turner, because, yep, that's what Tina is about. And it's a movie that's been really well received. It's getting a huge viewership. It's streaming out there. It's on HBO and so forth. But it's also gotten very good reviews, and I have to agree. It's a really a very, very good movie. It was directed by Daniel Lindsay and T.J. Martin. They also were the credited writers of it. And it is a documentary about Tina Turner. And I have to add one more little note about a past movie. And this goes back a lot of years. But What's Love Got to Do with It? Which is a movie directed by Brian Gibson. And again, this is a long time ago, but it starred Angela Bassett as Tina Turner and Lawrence Fishburne as Ike Turner. And I have to plug one of my books here, Rock and Roll Movies. I wrote the book. Or a book on rock and roll movies. And, you know, it deals with rock and roll and all the movies about various kinds of popular culture and popular music. And I have to say, What's Love Got to Do with It? I looked at it again when I was writing that book just a few years ago, and it is an unbelievably good movie. So I totally do recommend Tina. It's a really good documentary. But if you want to see something that's also really excellent and just goes back a few years, look at What's Love Got to Do with It. A really just amazing fictional movie, but based very closely on Tina Turner's own experiences, which she wrote about in a memoir some years ago. So now back to today's movie, which is Tina, which is a regular documentary, and it's based on her memoir, and she is interviewed on camera, and a whole lot of other people who worked with her and sang with her and were involved in her life are in the movie, not including, of course, Ike Turner. And it just covers the whole gamut of her quite amazing life and career, which was, it had in it all of the sort of cliches, many of them horrible cliches, but real life cliches of the star-struck life, or the star in involved life, or the star-driven life. She came out of nowhere. She came from a very underprivileged background and became got into the music business and met Ike Turner and started to succeed. And she just had this powerful, amazing voice. And she rose and rose and rose. But she was always under the thumb of Ike Turner. And by the way, her name was not Tina Turner. That was a name given to her by Ike Turner as part of their rise to fame. But he turned out to be incredibly violent and abusive and nasty in all kinds of ways. And again, that's very much in that fictionalized movie from some years ago, What's Love Got to Do with It? And it's very much in this movie, Tina, here. Not, of course, footage you have to look at, but you hear a whole lot of about that horrible aspect of her life and the other things that came into it that caused her horrible problems. And eventually her split with Ike Turner and her going out on her own. And that was tremendously difficult. You know, everybody thinks, well, Tina Turner, she was one of the most famous musicians in America, one of the most famous pop musicians in the world. She just went solo. That's all, simple as that. It wasn't as simple as that. It was incredibly difficult. She was thought of by everybody as being part of this duo. It was Ike and Tina Turner. And when she started to go on her own, it was very difficult, and she had to work unbelievably hard and do all kinds of jillions of different gigs here and there and travel around all the time and all that kind of stuff. And eventually, yes, she regained the big time again, partly through having a huge hit with a song that she didn't even want to sing because it wasn't enough of a rock song for her. But then she, of course, came back, and now she is again a superstar, and she talks about herself very candidly in this movie. So it's a fairly conventionally made documentary, but it's a very riveting documentary. I have never been especially into Ike and Tina Turner or into Tina Turner on her own. They just have never been favorites of mine, although some of their music is absolutely fabulous. Even though, again, I've never been into them and never really into Tina Turner, I really enjoyed watching this documentary. It's quite riveting, and it has a whole lot of really powerful pop music in it. A whole lot of that, obviously, but it really does. It's not a performance movie, but there's a lot of performance in it, so I enjoyed that aspect of it too. So I am able to recommend Tina. It has its very harrowing moments, and in terms of dealing with things that are pretty traumatic for Tina Turner and pretty traumatic for our society, yep, they're in there. I just found it a really very watchable movie and a very, very interesting movie, and just had a good time with it. Our second movie for today, The Toll. I seem to be saying this every single week now, but there's this horror movie that just came out. That's pretty good. It's been a very good many months now for horror movies, and we have another one here. One of its great virtues is that it is well under an hour and a half. Almost always a good thing for me. It was written and directed by a pretty new director named writer-director named Michael Nader. And, you know, it starts out really scary. It starts out with a young woman who's just gotten in on a long flight. She's going to visit her father, who lives way out in the boondocks, and she gets it's either an Uber or a Lyft driver, one or the other, and she gets into the car and gives him the address, and he starts driving. It's a long way. It's going to be a long drive, and it's nighttime because her flight was badly delayed. So there we are. We're in the car with this young woman, whose name, by the way, is Cammy, and the driver's name is Spencer, and we're not sure where this movie's going to go. Is it going to turn out that she's a little bit afraid? You know, she's in the car alone with this guy. It's the middle of the night. It's a long drive. She's never seen this guy before in her life. Is something going to happen? Is he maybe sinister? Is he maybe a killer? Something like that happening, or there may be something strange about her. We're being led to believe that she's just an ordinary young woman who just wants to get to her father's ranch, and she's got to have this long drive out there, but maybe there's... Anyway, that's the suspense at the beginning of the movie, and then pretty soon the strange things start to happen, and I'm not going to give big spoilers here, just sort of early things that happen in the movie. So there they are. They're driving down a lonely, lonely road in the middle of the night, and they're starting to get close to their destination, which is her father's ranch, and then the car breaks down, and it's dark there. It's a lonely country road in the middle of nowhere. There are no streetlights. There are no houses. There's nothing, and the car is broken down. So again, is Spencer, the driver, making this happen, or is he just a victim of this, as he seems to be? Hey, I didn't break the car. I don't know why the car's not going. I don't know what's going on here. And then, of course, her phone goes dead, her cell phone, and then the charger isn't working, and they're not sure why the car isn't going, because the battery doesn't appear to be dead, but that's what it appears to be. And so eventually she starts walking down the road. She's not going to stand there next to this broken down car and wait for sunrise. She's going to walk. Maybe she can find a house. Maybe she can call AAA. Maybe she can get some help. And so she walks and she walks and she walks. And where does she arrive? Right back at the car, even though she was walking in a straight line. So again, all this is very early in the movie, but something really weird is going on here. And it's not just a question that one of these two, maybe Spencer, is going to turn out to be a killer or something like that. It's much weirder than that. How can you walk for a good long while in a straight line and end up right back where you started? And then other strange things start happening. And it also appears, by the way, that there is some sort of mysterious being which is now stalking them. And so, yes, this is a horror movie. And it starts out good and scary, good and ominous, good and sinister. And I really enjoyed it for a while. By the time you get into the second half, it started to get a bit silly, as if the writer-director were grasping for ideas, were desperate for some other way to introduce some new wrinkle, some new trick into this. And by the time you get to the end of the movie, at least for me, the whole thing had become kind of silly. So again, what we have here is a good, spare, lean horror movie with just a small number of characters, a small number of settings, and a whole lot of really spooky doings. And again, it starts out really scary, but it ends up really silly. And along in between the way there, a whole lot of things happen. Some of them pretty plausible and pretty interesting and unusual. Some of them you just say, oh my gosh, now where did they come up with this? It's not a very effective gambit. Let's get on with this thing. This is getting silly. There's too much stuff gets crammed into the movie. And anyway, it ends up very disappointing. So, you know, if you really like horror movies, there's certainly worse stuff out there than The Toll. I just want to mention briefly, I just looked at a science fiction movie called The Tangle, which I had high hopes for, and which turned out to be so terrible that I don't even want to talk about it. The Toll is certainly better than that. It's a pretty good horror movie, just not a very good horror movie. So if you're really into the genre, check out The Toll. Again, it's not too long and you'll have a reasonably good time with at least parts of it. But if you want a first-rate, excellent horror movie, this is not the one for you. Now for something completely different. As the Monty Python folks used to say, perfumes. We now have a French movie. The original French title is Les Parfums, The Perfumes. But Perfumes, by the way, it was written and directed by Gregory Magne. And it's a very old-fashioned kind of French dramatic comedy or comedy drama, just about a couple of quirky, slightly unusual characters who undergo some very small scale, very humanly scaled adventures together. I had a nice time watching it. There's nothing exciting about it. I kept thinking this is like movies I used to look at decades ago, but that's kind of nice. It has a kind of a retro feel to it that I rather enjoyed. Anyway, we have here a main character who is a chauffeur, a guy named Guillaume, and he's a very nice man. And he's having some personal difficulties. He is on the outs with his wife. He is trying to get joint custody of their little girl, who is just turning 10 at the beginning of the movie. But in order to get custody of his little girl, he is going to have a nice place to live. In order to have a nice place to live, he's got to have a good, steady employment. But he's in trouble with the guy who has hired him to be a chauffeur with his company because he's had some driving violations. He apparently is not the most careful driver in the world. So he's got to keep his chauffeur job so that he can, fulfill this very important personal goal for him, which is getting a nicer apartment to live in and being able to have joint custody of his little girl. Then he gets a job just through his company where he drives a car for with a woman named Anne. And he starts driving her around. She is very imperious. She's always ordering him, do this, do that. And it's not just the driving. Carry up my bags. Put this in the back seat, not in the trunk. I'm going to sit in the front with you. She's very sort of bossy. Okay, but he's just the chauffeur, and so he's just got to sort of drive her around. And that's okay. If he does a good job, he'll keep his job, and he'll be able to have the joint custody, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. As the movie goes along, his relationship with Anne deepens, and we find out about the very unusual things she does for a living. It turns out that she lives off of the brilliance of her nose, and that's where the title of the movie comes from, Perfumes. At one point earlier in her career, she was somebody who designed perfumes. She was the one who put together all the different chemicals and all the different scented materials to come up with unique scents that could then become popular perfumes. She was involved, in fact, with a bit of really sensational, huge, world-changing perfume making. But then she went through a crisis. She lost her nose for a while. I don't mean she lost it off her face, but she lost the special ability that her nose had for a while, and she fell on sort of hard times. And now she does more sort of corporate work. Oh, here's an outfit that is spewing a lot of noxious, toxic fumes into the air. How can she somehow do something about that odor? Stuff like that. Piping perfume smells into supermarkets. But she wants to regain her former position as a real designer of the best perfumes. And then she develops this unlikely friendship with her chauffeur, who also gets very interested in this line of work that she is in. So it is, again, a very old-fashioned kind of movie, one of those unlikely friendship things. An unlikely friendship develops between a chauffeur and a woman who was once a great perfume maker. But it's a likable movie. It's very, very well acted by Emmanuel DeVos as Anne and Gregory Montel as Guillaume. They're likable characters. They're interesting characters. The movie has no big downers in it. It just has a lot of sort of human drama and a lot of comedy in it. There are some very gentle laughs in it, too. So Perfumes is by no means a great movie. It's not going to go down as one of the great classics of French cinema, but it's a nice, amiable, likable movie. And in this time when we're looking at movies about troubled pop singers like Tina Turner and horror movies about people stuck on dark country roads, it's kind of nice to have a movie like Perfumes come along and just give you a little bit of perfumed atmosphere for a change of pace. And that is my somewhat changing of pace story this week, Jill.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films Tina, The Toll, and Perfumes.